Good morning and welcome to Claude Daily. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam. Happy Tuesday, everyone.
It is Tuesday, May 12th, 2020, and we have got a genuinely exciting show for you today. If you are a developer who uses Claude Code, or if you've been keeping tabs on where agentic AI is heading, today's episode is basically required listening.
Yeah, I'd say so. Like, we're not talking about incremental updates here. What Anthropic has been rolling out over the past little while for Claude Code, it's a pretty significant architectural shift in how these AI coding agents actually work.
That's the right word for it, architectural. Because this isn't just, oh, Claude got a little smarter, or the autocomplete is better. They're fundamentally changing how developers build and manage agentic workflows.
Multi-agent stuff, parallel execution, real-time event handling, it's a lot to unpack.
It really is. So we're going to go through all of it today. There are six major feature updates from the Claude Code documentation that we want to walk through, and I think by the end of it, you're going to have a pretty clear picture of where Anthropic is taking this platform.
And we should say, this is all coming from the official Claude Code docs, so this is not speculation. This is real shipping stuff.
Exactly right. All right, let's get into it. So the biggest story, the one I want to start with, is tool search. And I know that sounds a little dry when you just say it like that, tool search. But stick with me, because this is actually solving a really fundamental problem with the way AI agents work today.
Yeah, so give people the setup. What's the problem?
Okay, so the way most AI agents work right now, and this includes Claude Code, is that when you spin up an agent and you want it to be able to use tools, you have to load the definitions for all of those tools into the context window up front. And a context window, for people who don't know, is essentially the agent's working memory. It's everything it can see and reason about at any given moment.
Right, and there's a limit to how much fits in there.
Exactly. And here's the thing. If you've got, say, 10 tools, no problem. Load them all in, the agent knows what it can do, you're fine. But what if you've got 100 tools? 1,000 tools? Suddenly you're burning through your entire context window just on tool definitions, before the agent has even looked at your actual problem.
Which is, I mean, it's kind of a wild constraint when you think about it. Like, you're basically telling the agent, here is every single thing you might ever need to know how to do at the very beginning, whether you need it or not.
It's like handing someone a complete encyclopedia before they've told you what they want to look up.
Exactly. And it's wasteful, right? Like, if I'm working on a Python debugging task, I don't need the agent to have detailed definitions for every Kubernetes deployment tool loaded into memory. I just don't.
Right. So what tool search does, and this is the clever bit, is it flips that model on its head. Instead of loading everything up front, Claude can now dynamically search for and retrieve only the specific tool definitions it actually needs, on demand, as the task unfolds.
So it's like, instead of being handed the encyclopedia, it knows there's a library it can go to, and it can look up the specific entry it needs at the moment it needs it.
That's a great way to put it. And the scale this unlocks is pretty significant. We're talking about agents that can potentially work across hundreds or even thousands of tools without any of that context overhead.
Okay, so I want to push on this a little bit, because this sounds great in theory, but the obvious question is, how does the agent know which tools to search for? Like, if it doesn't know what's in the library, how does it know what to look up?
Yeah, that's the right question. And this is where it gets interesting. The way it works is Claude has access to a search index of available tools, and it can query that index using natural language descriptions of what it's trying to accomplish. So it's not like Claude needs to know the exact name of every tool. It can search for something like tools that interact with GitHub pull requests, and the search surfaces the relevant definitions.
Oh, that's actually really smart, because it means the agent is doing kind of meta reasoning. It's reasoning about what capabilities it might need and then fetching those capabilities.
Right. And what that means practically is you can build much more sophisticated agents without hitting those context ceiling issues that have been a real bottleneck. The docs describe this as a solution to a fundamental scalability constraint in agentic systems, and I think that's accurate.
Yeah, I mean, if you're an enterprise developer and you've got, I don't know, your internal tooling ecosystem, you might genuinely have thousands of internal tools, APIs, scripts, integrations. The idea that your agent could have access to all of that without being crippled by the overhead, that's a big deal.
Huge deal. And I think it's a sign of where Anthropic sees Claude Code going. This isn't a tool for solo developers working on small projects anymore. They're clearly thinking about large-scale, enterprise-grade agentic deployment.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And speaking of scale, that actually connects really naturally to the next thing we need to talk about, which is parallel sessions.
Git work trees, yeah.
Git work trees. So this one might be a little more familiar to developers in the audience who have used Git's work tree feature, but for people who haven't. Alex, you want to set this up?
Sure. So Git, the version control system that basically every software developer uses, has this feature called work trees. And what it lets you do is have multiple working directories pointing to the same repository at the same time, each on a different branch. So you can be working on a bug fix in one folder and a new feature in another folder, and they're completely isolated from each other, but they share the same underlying Git history.
And Claude Code has now integrated with this.
Exactly. So you can spin up multiple Claude Code sessions, each in its own work tree, each operating on a different branch, all running simultaneously, completely parallel, completely isolated.
Okay, this is one of those things where the implications kind of cascade in your brain when you think about it. Because right now, if you're using an AI coding agent, it's pretty serial, right? You give it a task, it works on it, you wait, it comes back, you give it the next thing. There's a lot of sitting around.
A lot of waiting, yeah.
But now you could theoretically have, like, one session working on the authentication refactor, another session running the test suite and fixing failures, a third session working on documentation updates, all happening simultaneously. No waiting for one to finish before you start the next.
And that's not even a stretch. That's exactly what this is designed for. The docs describe sessions being created using the worktree flag, and they automatically branch from the repository. So the setup is pretty seamless. You're not doing complex manual configuration to get this working.
What about conflicts, though? Like, if two sessions are both touching the same code base, even if they're on different branches, at some point those branches have to merge, and that's where things can get messy.
Yeah, and I think that's a real consideration. But the isolation is the key thing here. Because each work tree is on its own branch, the sessions can't directly interfere with each other while they're running. The merging is a downstream problem that you deal with at the end, same as you would with any parallel human development workflow.
Right, it's not like Claude is going to reach over into the other session's files and...
No, they're genuinely isolated environments. And actually, that isolation is by design. You want agents working in parallel to be sandboxed from each other. Otherwise, you get race conditions and all sorts of chaos.
Yeah, you don't want your agents stepping on each other's work.
Exactly. And this connects to something else they've shipped, which is the Agent View Dashboard. But let's hold on that for a second, because I want to get to channels first. Because honestly, channels might be the most exciting thing in this whole batch of updates.
Oh yeah, channels. Let's do it.
Okay. So, channels. Let me explain what problem this is solving. So you're using Claude Code, right? Maybe you've got an agent running in the background doing some long-running task, refactoring something, running tests, whatever. And you need that agent to be able to respond to things that happen in the outside world while it's running. Like maybe your continuous integration pipeline fails and you want Claude to immediately react to that. Or maybe you get a message in Slack and you want Claude to pick that up and act on it.
Or a monitoring alert fires at 3 a.m.
Exactly. Or a monitoring alert fires. Historically, getting information into a running agent session from external systems has been really clunky. You either have to poll, which means the agent is constantly checking, did anything happen? Did anything happen? Or you spawn a whole new session, which means you lose all the context from the session that was already running.
Neither of those is great.
Neither of those is great. So channels solve this by letting external systems push events directly into a running Claude Code session in real time. And they're built on top of the Model Context Protocol, which is Anthropic's open standard for how AI models connect to external tools and data sources.
Okay, and what platforms are supported? Because you mentioned Telegram earlier.
Yeah, so right out of the box, they're supporting Telegram, Discord, and iMessage. Those are the three main chat platforms. But the architecture is open. The channel is essentially a Model Context Protocol server that operates as a sub-process, and developers can build their own custom channels for whatever event source they need.
Wait, hold on. iMessage? Like Apple's iMessage?
iMessage, yeah.
So I can, theoretically, text my phone and that message goes directly into my running Claude Code session and triggers an action?
Yes, that's exactly right.
That's wild.
It kind of is.
Like, the thing that I keep coming back to is, we talk a lot about agents running in the background doing autonomous work. And one of the friction points has always been this disconnect between the agent's world and your world as a human. You're in your messages app, the agent is in a terminal somewhere, and the two don't really talk to each other in real time.
Right, there's this gap.
And channels is basically bridging that gap. The agent is now a participant in your communication ecosystem.
Yeah, I think that's well put. And the other use cases beyond messaging are arguably even more compelling. The docs specifically call out continuous integration pipelines and monitoring tools. So imagine your agent is doing a big refactor, and your CI pipeline is running tests, and a test fails. That failure event can be pushed directly into the agent's session. The agent knows immediately what went wrong, and it can start fixing it. No human in the loop required to relay that information.
That's the thing, right? It's removing the human as the relay between systems.
Exactly. And for teams doing serious software development with these agents, that's a huge efficiency gain. You're not babysitting the agent, checking in on it, going, "Hey, by the way, the tests failed." It already knows.
And it requires authentication for each channel, right? Like, it's not just open to anything?
Right, yeah. Each channel requires user authentication, so there's an access control layer there. You're not just leaving an open pipe into your agent session for anyone to push events into.
Good, because that would be terrifying, actually.
Yeah, unauthorized events pushing into your running agent sessions would be a security nightmare.
To put it mildly.
So the authentication is a sensible design choice. You authenticate each channel. You control what's allowed to talk to your session.
And from a developer perspective, building a custom channel, like if you want to connect to some internal system that isn't Telegram or Discord, that's also something they've documented?
Yeah, the channel's reference documentation in Claude Code goes into the implementation details. You're building it with the Model Context Protocol software development kit. It communicates over standard input-output, and it operates as a sub-process spawned by Claude Code itself. So the architecture is pretty well-defined. It's not like you're starting from scratch trying to figure out how to connect things.
That's good, because one of the things that has made the Model Context Protocol ecosystem exciting is the standardization, right? Like, you know what you're building against.
Exactly. You've got a clear contract for how these things communicate, which makes the ecosystem much more composable. You build a channel once, it works the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah. Okay, so we've talked about tool search, parallel sessions, channels. And I keep thinking about the developer who is now managing all of this, because this is a lot of moving pieces. You've got multiple agent sessions running in parallel. You've got events coming in from external systems. You've got tools being dynamically loaded. How do you actually keep track of all of that?
And that is exactly the segue into Agent View, which is the fourth major update here.
Perfect timing.
So Agent View is essentially a unified dashboard for monitoring and managing all of your running Claude Code sessions. You access it via a command, or Claude Agents, in the terminal, and it gives you a single interface that shows you all your background sessions, what state they're in, what they're currently doing, and crucially, whether any of them need your attention.
What does need your attention mean in this context?
So, and this is important, even though these agents are designed to run autonomously, they do sometimes hit situations where they need human input. Maybe they need a decision made, or they need approval for an action that has significant consequences, or they ran into an ambiguous requirement. And Agent View surfaces those moments. You can see at a glance, okay, session 3 is paused and waiting for me to weigh in.
So it's not just a status monitor, it's also an action required flag system.
Exactly. And that's really what makes it genuinely useful rather than just a nice visualization. Because if you've got, say, 5 or 6 agents running in parallel on different tasks, you don't want to have to go check each one individually to see if any of them are stuck. You want a single pane of glass that tells you the state of your whole fleet.
Fleet is a good word for it, actually. Because that's what it is, right? You've got this fleet of AI agents working on your code base, and you're the fleet manager.
And the fleet manager needs a control panel.
Right, and I think there's something worth noting here about the overall philosophy of what Anthropic is building. Because if you look at all of these features together, tool search, work trees, channels, agent view, there's a clear thread running through all of them, which is, how do you make AI agents work at scale in real production environments?
Yeah, that's right.
And that's a very different question from, how do you make AI useful for a single developer in a single session? It's fundamentally about coordination and scalability and integration.
And I think the enterprise angle here is intentional. Like, this is not features that matter if you're a solo developer working on hobby projects. This matters if you're a team of 20 engineers who want to augment their work with AI agents running in parallel.
Or a team of 200.
Or 200. And the fact that they've built a dashboard to manage this tells you something. You don't build a dashboard unless you expect people to be running enough concurrent sessions that they need one.
That's actually a really good point. Like, the existence of the feature implies the scale they're expecting.
Right. You don't add a fleet management interface for 3 sessions. You add it when the number of concurrent sessions becomes genuinely hard to track manually.
Yeah, and I'm curious how this evolves because right now it's a terminal interface. Claude agents in the command line. But I could see this becoming a more visual thing over time. A web dashboard, something graphical.
That would make sense as this matures. The terminal interface is fine for developers who live in the terminal, but if you're trying to get broader adoption, project managers, non-engineering stakeholders who want visibility into what the agents are doing, a more visual interface would open that up.
Yeah, a Gantt chart of your agents.
I mean...
too far?
Maybe a little bit too far, but I see where you're going.
Just a little bit.
Okay, so we've got one more feature to cover from today's documentation update, and it's a little different in character from the others. The others have all been about scalability and integration and managing complex workflows. This one is about communication style. Output styles.
Yeah, this one's interesting because it's almost more of a user experience thing than an infrastructure thing.
Exactly. So output styles are a way to modify how Claude Code communicates. Not what it can do, but how it talks to you. The system ships with four built-in styles. There's a default mode, which is just Claude's standard behavior. And then there are three alternatives. Proactive mode, explanatory mode, and learning mode.
What's the difference? Like, what does proactive mean in this context?
So proactive is designed for situations where you want Claude to take more initiative. It's more assertive about suggesting next steps, pointing out potential issues before you ask, taking action without waiting to be prompted. It's for experienced developers who want Claude to be a really active collaborator, not just responding to requests.
So less, I have completed your request, and more, I've done that. And by the way, I noticed this other thing you should probably look at.
Exactly. Versus explanatory mode, which is kind of the opposite end of that spectrum. Explanatory mode is designed for situations where you want Claude to really walk you through what it's doing and why. More detailed reasoning, more step-by-step explanation.
Like a code review mode, where you actually want to understand what changed and why.
Yeah, or if you're onboarding to a new code base and you need Claude to explain the context as it works. You're not just trying to get stuff done, you're trying to learn.
Which brings us to learning mode, I assume.
Right. Learning mode is specifically designed for educational contexts. So if you're using Claude Code to actually teach yourself programming concepts or to understand a new technology, it's going to adjust its tone and framing to be more pedagogical, more focused on building your understanding than just getting the task done efficiently.
That's a really smart distinction, because the same output that's perfect for an expert developer is actually kind of terrible for someone who's learning. You want different things from those interactions.
Totally. And the way they've implemented this is clean. It works through system prompt adjustments under the hood. So it's not changing Claude's underlying capabilities or its knowledge. It's changing the role and tone it adopts when interacting with you. And importantly, you can also create custom output styles.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's not just the four built-ins.
No. You can define your own style for specific use cases. So if you work at a company and you have very specific communication standards, or if you're using Claude Code in a context that doesn't fit neatly into proactive, explanatory, or learning, you can build a custom style that fits your context.
Which makes a lot of sense for enterprise teams, actually, because different teams might want very different personalities from their AI assistant, depending on what they're doing.
Yeah, your security team might want very terse, precise output. Your documentation team might want something much more verbose and explanatory. Rather than having one size fit all, you can configure it.
And it makes me think about the agent view stuff we were talking about. Like, if you've got multiple agents running in parallel across different teams, you could potentially have each agent running with a different output style tuned to the team it's working with.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, and that's kind of the composability that's emerging here, right? All of these features, tool search, work trees, channels, agent view, output styles, they're modular. You can mix and match them based on what your workflow needs.
It's like a platform now, not just a tool.
I think that's genuinely what it is at this point. Claude Code is a platform. And I think that's a significant evolution from where it started, which was essentially an AI assistant that happened to be good at code.
Yeah, the assistant framing really doesn't capture what this is becoming. Like, this is infrastructure. This is developer infrastructure.
That's a really good framing. AI-powered developer infrastructure. Because when you have event-driven channels, parallel execution, dynamic tool loading, fleet management, those are infrastructure concepts. That's not helpful assistant territory.
Right. And I think that's going to become a more common way that the industry talks about these tools. not just AI coding assistants, but AI developer infrastructure.
I'd expect to see that framing pick up over the next year or so, yeah.
All right. So let me try to pull all of this together, because I think it's worth stepping back and looking at the big picture of what Anthropic has shipped here. Because I've been pretty excited through this whole conversation, and I want to make sure I'm giving people an accurate sense of the significance.
Yeah, go for it.
So if you look at these six features, tool search, parallel sessions via work trees, channels for event-driven integration, agent view for fleet management, the channels reference architecture for building custom integrations, and output styles, they're all pointing at the same thing.
Which is?
The practical operationalization of multi-agent systems. Like, we've had the theory of multi-agent AI for a while. Multiple agents collaborating, agents doing parallel work, agents reacting to events. But theory and practice are really different. And what Claude Code is doing with these features is solving the practical problems that come up when you actually try to run multi-agent systems in the real world.
Context limits, solved by tool search. Parallel execution, solved by work trees. Integration with external systems, solved by channels. Oversight and management, solved by agent view. Communication customization, solved by output styles.
Exactly. It's a cohesive story. It's not just a grab bag of features.
And that cohesion is what makes me think this is a deliberate architectural direction, not just, we built some stuff that seemed useful.
Yeah. Someone thought carefully about what the blockers are for scaling agentic AI in production and then systematically addressed them.
Which is, look, that's what good platform engineering looks like. You identify the constraints, you address them methodically.
And from a competitive standpoint, this is interesting too, because everyone is building AI coding tools right now, but not everyone is thinking about this problem at the fleet management enterprise infrastructure level.
That's a differentiator if they can execute on it.
If they can execute, and the documentation at least suggests they're executing. Like, this isn't vaporware. The docs are detailed, the architecture is described, there are implementation guides for building custom channels. This is shipping stuff.
Yeah. And I think developers who are serious about building agentic workflows should be paying close attention to this, because the tooling is maturing faster than a lot of people expected.
A year ago, running multiple AI agents in parallel on your codebase with real-time event integration and a management dashboard would have sounded like science fiction.
Now it's in the documentation.
Now it's in the documentation.
And it's worth noting, and we pulled in a lot of broader news context for today's episode, this stuff doesn't exist in a vacuum. There's been a wave of coverage about where enterprise AI is heading, and the direction Anthropic is taking with Claude Code is very much in line with what enterprise developers are asking for.
Yeah, the requests have been pretty consistent. Less friction, more scalability, better integration with existing workflows. And my AI agent needs to be able to work with our whole tooling ecosystem, not just a handful of tools. That's been a real pain point.
Tool search addresses that directly. And the channels integration addresses the, I need my agent to know about things happening in my CI pipeline or my monitoring system pain point that enterprise teams have been vocal about.
It's funny. I feel like we've been talking for years about AI going from a productivity tool to a genuine collaborator. And these features are the engineering that makes that transition real.
Because a collaborator has to be able to receive information, react to it, work in parallel with other collaborators, and communicate in the way that's appropriate for the context. And all of that is now present in Claude Code.
Yeah, like I can finally see the shape of what an AI augmented development team actually looks like in practice. You've got your human engineers doing the high-level architecture, making the judgment calls. You've got Claude Code agents running in parallel on the implementation work, picking up CI failures in real time, working with a dynamic tool library, and you've got a dashboard where a human can check in and unblock anything that needs a decision.
That's a really clear picture, actually.
And what's interesting is the human is still in the loop. Agent view makes sure of that. The agents aren't fully autonomous black boxes. They surface when they need input. There's oversight built into the architecture.
Which is important. Because I think one of the legitimate concerns about agentic AI, especially in enterprise contexts, is how do I know what it's doing and how do I course correct when something goes wrong?
Right. And agent view is part of the answer to that. You've got visibility, you can see state, you can see what each agent is doing, you can see when something needs your attention. It's not just a fire and forget system.
That combination, significant autonomy plus meaningful oversight, is probably the right design pattern for production AI systems right now.
Yeah. We're not at the point where you'd want to fully remove the human from the loop on complex software development, but you can move the human from doing the work to supervising the agents doing the work, That's a meaningful shift.
And one that has real productivity implications for teams that adopt it well.
Absolutely. And look, I'll be honest, I'm excited about this stuff. But I also think it's worth being clear-eyed that we're still early. These features are available, they're documented, but the workflows for using them effectively, the best practices, the gotchas, the failure modes, that's all still being figured out in real time by developers who are on the cutting edge.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Like, having the capability is step one. Knowing how to use it well in production is a whole other thing.
And that'll come with time and with the community's experience building on top of it.
Agreed. And that's the exciting part too. Right now, there are developers who are going to be the first to build seriously with these features, and they're going to figure out patterns and practices that the rest of the community eventually learns from.
Yeah. And I'd encourage anyone listening who is doing serious Claude code work to look closely at the documentation. The channel's reference in particular is pretty detailed. There's real implementation guidance there, not just conceptual overview.
Same with the tool search docs. If you've been frustrated by context limits when trying to give Claude access to a large tooling ecosystem, the details of how tool search works are worth understanding thoroughly.
And the WorkTrees documentation is great if you're thinking about how to structure parallel work streams. Like, how do you organize your branches? How do you think about the merge strategy downstream? There are real considerations there.
All right, I think we've given this a thorough going over. Let me make sure we've hit everything.
Tool search, check. Parallel sessions with WorkTrees, check. Channels for real-time event integration, check. Channels reference documentation, covered in the technical discussion. Agent view dashboard, check. Output styles, check.
Yeah, I think we've covered the ground.
It's been a meaty episode.
It really has, and I think rightly so. This is the kind of update that warrants spending real time on. This isn't a here's a minor quality of life improvement situation.
No, this is a platform evolving in a meaningful direction.
All right, before we sign off, any final thought from you on what you're watching for going forward? Like, what's the next shoe to drop in this story?
Oh, good question. I think the thing I'm most curious about is how the channel ecosystem develops, because right now it's Telegram, Discord, iMessage, the big three consumer chat platforms. But I'm watching to see when we start seeing integrations with enterprise communication tools. Slack, Microsoft Teams, those would really unlock this for corporate environments in a much bigger way.
Yeah, that's a good one. And for me, I'm watching the Agent View story. Right now, it's a terminal dashboard. I'm curious how quickly that evolves into something that non-developer stakeholders can use. Because if you can give a product manager or an engineering manager real-time visibility into what the AI agents are doing, that changes the conversation about AI adoption in ways that are hard to overstate.
Yeah. Transparency for the whole org, not just the engineers running the agents.
Exactly. All right, I think that's a great place to leave it for today.
Yeah, this has been a fun one.
It really has. Good show today.
Really good show.
That's going to do it for today's episode of Claude Daily. We are your hosts. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam.
And we will be back tomorrow with whatever Anthropic throws at us overnight. If you're enjoying the show, tell a colleague, especially if they're a developer who's been thinking about how to get more out of agentic AI workflows. This one's for them.
Yeah, share it with your team. I'm serious. Send it to your whole engineering Slack.
And if you've got thoughts on today's topics, what you're building with Claude Code, how you're thinking about multi-agent workflows, we're always interested to hear from the community.
Yeah, we love hearing from listeners. It genuinely shapes how we talk about this stuff.
It does. All right, May 12th, 2026. Thanks for starting your morning with us.
See you tomorrow.
Take care, everyone.